It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nightside Project. Finish the day happy. With Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. We really appreciate it. Gosh, Alex, good to be recording another one.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you.
Get your crap figured out on your end?
Yeah, apparently.
It's good.
But
no,
I got to ask you, though.
Yeah, what?
And, you know, so, I mean, not to make this into a sports thing. But circumstances,
yeah.
And you know this,
yeah.
Circumstances are bringing me to a BYU football game
yeah,
at a state
I love
later this.
You know what? I love this.
Later in October.
This is like when somebody gets forced into, like if they're vegan and they're like, anyway, we're going to meet at Texas
Tony
Roadhouse. My son actually the other day. But that's exactly right. It's like you're going to the Texas Roadhouse. You don't feel comfortable there. You haven't been there.
No, it's fine.
But, you know, you'll eat the rolls like crazy. Like, you're really going to eat those rolls. And that's going to be you at this BYU game. You're going to Houston for it. What I love about this is you and the wear the mask, and let's not gather. And then they're all, there's going to be a game in Texas, and you're all, I'll be there.
Well,
I will be there.
So here's how it went. So I'm going to see my brother in Austin. And then we're also going to see my nephew play. My nephew is a standout player at Katy High School in Texas. And so we're going to go see him play. And so my brother's a big-time BYU fan.
Right.
And he's like, well, since you're here, I really want to
see
BYU play. And so, okay, you know, I'll go. I like football, right?
My question is,
though, is that are they going to be able to even play? Because I've been watching what's happened in Utah County,
no,
and I'm
Chris,
like, look, I've already paid for the ticket.
Listen, I don't have a crystal viral ball, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen here because there have been so many games that have been postponed. I mean, not a ton of games, actually, but, I mean, already one of BYU's games, and it was 2 weeks before, you know, they were supposed to play on Saturday. It was really depressing, the fact that we were anticipating. It's one thing to say, hey, the season's canceled. Another to go, hey, BYU's playing next week, and then you go, psych. So, but it's two teams. There's Army has special circumstances. Army is like, we can't be around anybody who has gotten it because they've basically had like a zero count at the academy.
Yeah, it's the military. It's the U.S. military.
And
but
you've
here's,
got it because
here's my
some
question.
Teams, some teams are getting they're getting COVID positive guys and they're going, just sit out for 2 weeks, bro. And if everybody else is negative, they're still going on and playing. So Dana Holgorsen, who's the head coach of Houston, I mean, he is like dying to play. And BYU is like, we're figuring this thing out because they feel like they could go to the college football playoff.
Wait. Right. Well, not anymore.
Well, why not?
Well, come on. Now that all the other teams are starting to play as well.
Well, they're all going to play each other and beat each other, and BYU is going to sneak right in there as an undefeated
having not
group
played
of
anyone,
five.
They're going to sneak in because they haven't played any games.
They're going to play. Yeah, they're going to have as many games as these other idiots.
Come all on. Right. So here's my question for you, though.
Yeah.
Is let's say, you know, it comes down to it and, you know, and Provo continues to just not have it together.
Oh, man.
Well, who do I get my refund from? Are they going to give me a refund, or am I going to be asked to make it a donation to
No, because you didn't buy
school.
Those tickets from BYU. You bought those tickets from whoever the venue is.
Oh, I see. So what
BYU's
I need to do is I need to get my refund
from
that kid who's throwing all the parties down there
the
in Utah
state
County.
No, you got to.
That's
where
I need to get my refund.
You have
from.
To get it back from the state of Texas,
no.
Which means you have to like go to the Alamo in person.
No.
And actually ask for
I'm
it.
I'm coming to one of those.
Oh,
I'm coming to
go,
one of those parties.
You're going to go to a.
I'm going to one of the young morons
parties. You're going to go to a Nickmo party down in Provo,
and where they have the mocktails, and I'm going to get my $30 out of that kid that's running this
listen,
whole.
They're
racket.
Called Nickmo parties. You know what Nickmo is, right?
I do.
Non-committal makeout.
Yeah,
all right?
No, I
and
do.
So I want to make sure that those BYU listen. You can't control. My favorite thing is what everybody's doing blame wise. My favorite thing is everybody's doing the whole. Well, you know, it's all those. So those darn kids kept flying in from California, from their home states.
Yeah.
They brought it with them. And I'm like, nah, it's you guys all, it's everybody. I can't tell you, Ethan, I know so many people who have kids at BYU, and they're like, yeah, their roommates got it. And they didn't tell us because they were embarrassed about it. So they just went home. They just go home and quarantine. But none of these – here's the other thing. And this is the scary part. None of them are symptomatic, really. Maybe it's like, oh, I had the sniffles, and then I had a kind of a light fever one night. Yeah, I think that we forget all of us have had that dog sick time in our lives at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Where you are so sick, you're like, mama, because you are like fever dreams. You are barely able to operate and like
heavy machinery.
Right. You're mm-hmm. just barely able to operate it. But if you have even a slight fever, you are like, I've never been more like, is my throat scratchy? Like, I've never more freaked out. Been amazed that I've been basically no symptoms of anything of any kind for like months because I'm like all over it. My wife keeps doing the whole, did you take some echinacea? And I'm like, yeah, okay. That, and I'll rub some lavender oil on my temples. I should be good to go. So come on. Millard, what do we want to do? Because since we're recording and we got your gear fixed and it's a happy day because we're going to start. Hey, I want to say something. If you're hearing this, it means the Nightside Project is dead. I mean, just the on-air version of it. This is like a weird recording. No, we're still doing these. I'm at work. Ethan had an internet issue where I don't know if it was the windstorms in Utah, but certainly I've had issues with my internet over the past couple weeks, and you finally
Yeah.
I think it's nice you upgraded from the dial-up. Or what was it, 1.5 megabits?
Yeah, yeah. So, good job. It's twice as powerful.
Yeah,
so it's
up
fantastic.
To three now.
It's awesome. Well, you know what we learned that when the companies say speeds up to this, not guaranteed, they really mean that. They really mean that it's
– It's like when they go, dude, this is a half-pound burger. Wait before cooking, you know.
No, they've got the data to back it up. Look, right here at 3:25 a.m., it spiked all the way up.
No, my favorite is – So now they're doing the fight of fiber up in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And the signs are up in the neighborhood that say no to fiber. And the other ones are like, say yes to fiber. Say yes to faster internet speeds, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And they're like, big fiber is lying to you. You see these signs in people's yards. And I'm like, what? I get people not wanting to get, you know, taxed, mm-hmm. you know, and any tax is bad tax. They just fight it, and then they ask questions later. Like, what was that we just shot down? But I don't know. I hope we can get real fiber up in my neck of the woods.
I hope so, too.
I am so sick of the massive monopoly cable company that you and I both are now subject to because we moved into different places in the valley.
Yeah, I hope you get it too because it really is.
It's
it
awesome.
Really is worthwhile.
We had Google Fiber in Salt Lake, and we upgraded everything in our house when we moved. And then we had a massive downgrade on internet because of that. That was it. That's freaking it. I just can't stand it.
Better everything but that. Yeah. That one thing is worse.
Hey, did you have a fake quiz for me or something?
Point? So here's one of the... I don't know if you actually have it ready. Do you happen to have the Animal Kingdom?
Ethan, it is the power of technology here. Let's...
There's no two ways about it. If we didn't eat them first, they would kill us. Join us this evening for Nightside's Animal Kingdom.
All right.
Here they are.
Yeah, what do you have?
Here they are, the 9 ways to increase your odds of a shark attack.
I think that, speaking of attacks, I think that you can't stress these things enough. Mm-hmm. If it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back. This is the bear tool that you also need to know. So that's the thing. So that I learned it. Now, because I think that we get mixed up. We go, oh, dude, if it's a bear, you got to play dead. And a black bear will go, sweet.
It's already dead.
It's dead. I'm eating this thing. So if it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back. That's your bear rule, of thumb. And by the way, they don't have thumbs. So
they don't.
Yeah. All right. What do we have with the sharks, though? That's
okay,
what I
so, Alex, I'm going to hear. I got a couple of questions at TF. And maybe you may know this already because have you seen Jaws?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's been... Oh, boy, so I guess it's been a week and a half now since I saw it. So
here's a question for you.
Okay.
When are you most likely to get bit by a shark? Swimming at night or swimming during the day?
It's got to be at night. They all feed at night, right?
Yeah, sharks are most active during darkness or twilight hours.
Well, no, it's almost all of them, too. It's like all sharks. Because I remember going to Hawaii one time, and, okay, so we go to Hawaii, right? We're with this group with BYU. Somebody else is flying us out. It's my first time in Hawaii. We're staying on the beach in this awesome hotel, and we all run outside. It's like 10 p.m. We run outside and go, don't care, getting in the water, going to the beach. And then we get out, and it is funny because, like, the hotel people were like, that was amazing. Like, you guys just jumped right in there. This is, like, exactly when sharks are out, like, feeding. And we're like, ha, ha, huh? Like, just assume, yeah. It's like, look, cougars are the same way. They wait till kind of, you know, it's semi-dark. They come right after.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alex, here's the next question.
Okay.
What color of bathing suit will increase your odds of being attacked?
Yeah, it's got to be like the bowl. It's got to be red.
Mm. Really good guess, but it's actually yellow.
Oh.
Apparently yellow bathing suits are especially attractive to shark. Divers call it yum yum yellow.
Oh, that's funny.
But as the article points out, no one knows for sure, though, because sharks don't give interviews.
Right. I was going to say, what are they – like, what was the control in the situation? Like they found a massive – they found, like, an abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just – we found a lot of yellow bathing suit abdomens.
I think that's exactly what it is.
We found this trunk of a human, but yellow shorts again. So there you go.
So here's something else, though. And this isn't really a quiz, but just kind of a point of interest.
Okay.
Swimming near moving water and sewage is actually going to increase your chances. So, you know, there are areas in the world.
If you're swimming near sewage, I just want to tell you this. If you get attacked in Utah Lake, I mean – we warned you.
There are lots of sharks in Utah Lake for that very reason. They're like, yeah. Here's something else. Wear lots of shiny jewelry. Sharks, like all fish, love shiny objects. You know, it's fishing lures, right? Have reflective spinners on them. And so that's part of it. So sharks are the same thing, man. They see that shiny stuff. They're like, lunch. Yeah, lunchtime.
Yeah, they're into you, bro.
So necklaces, rings, toe rings, anklets.
Toe rings.
Earrings.
Gosh. You know what?
All those things are going to increase your
odds. If I have a toe ring on, take me now, great white. Just take me now. Could you imagine?
At least take the toe.
Could you imagine a toe ring on my freaking – if my big toe is like – what would I liken this unto?
Do you remember?
So disgusting.
Do you remember that –
what, graffito?
Dictionary graffito
oh my gosh.
That we did.
I thought about it the other day because there was a graphic up, and I went, that game was so stupid because it featured – my toe, which is about as big as like, I don't know, it's like a small
like
dinner
a small
plate.
Baby.
And so imagine a toe ring on that thing. It's like putting a dog collar on a foot. All right. Mm-hmm. What else you got? Is that it?
Obviously swimming with blood in the water, right? That's going to do it.
No.
But here's something else. And this I thought was interesting. Swimming with a pet. Excessive splashing and erratic movements of pets can help get a shark's attention.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of would rather swim with a pet.
You think the pet would be like the canary in the coal mine?
Yes.
The pet would get attacked.
So you'd go, oh, shoot, Fluffy, may he rest, but he saved us.
That's interesting.
And the dogs are the ones that are splashing all that. You know, they're doing the doggy paddle. The dog paddle always looks so desperate from dogs.
Yeah.
It's just so desperate. It's just as like every stroke is like, I'm not drowning, I'm not drowning, I'm not drowning.
But they could do that all day.
Right, and they do it all day. So I'm just saying they're going to end up being the ones taken.
Well, and you're
right.
Just
put a set of yellow trunks on that dog of yours, and you're set.
They're done. Take them out in the evening. It's a wrap on that dog. Well, you're right. The dogs splash around a lot more. Your cat would be much less likely to splash around
well, the cat
quite so
just
much.
Gives up. The cat just goes, take me now, lake or ocean. I'm
just
good.
Just where's that shark? I'm going to swim to
the
shark.
We have a neighborhood shark. We have a neighborhood cat that is my like best friend now. He comes out at night. I sit on the porch a lot of times. I'll just read or I'll have my phone out and I'll hang out while you know, the kids have fallen asleep or whatever. And my wife and I will just chat. And the cat comes up. And I'm just like, I love this cat. She's like, we're not getting a cat. I go, I know, because we just have this guy. He comes by.
You don't need one.
The exact amount of pets that I want to give, like 4 or 5 pets, and then I go, okay, get out of here, you know. And he knows he's not interested. He doesn't want very much interaction either. It's a perfect relationship.
I've got one last thing for the shark. How to increase your shark attack?
Okay,
helping an ocean animal in trouble. So beach whales, seals caught in fishing nets. You might wade out there into the water to help, but that is perfect, perfect timing for the shark because sharks are attracted to animals in trouble.
Well, yeah, somebody put that out there. Somebody put that seal in that net out there to draw the shark in. That's what you know about.
No, the shark put that seal in the net to draw the to draw the human in. Draw the people
in. See, that's perfect. You know what they could do? You know how else they could catch people? They go, oh, look at this huge piece of plastic out here. It's as big as Texas. Oh, shoot. You guys should come out here and clean it up. And then the sharks just feed on hippies all day.
They're right into there.
Oh, my goodness. I've got music here. You know what that means? Let's take a quick break. You see how we have a Zen headline next?
Yeah, man.
We've also dug up out of the archive a contest that apparently we did here on the Nightside Project. You cannot win this, by the way.
Neither of us can remember it.
I can't remember it. Yeah, and it's more than it's a 15-year-old contest at this point, so don't try to play it. But I'll play it for you. It was amazing what we were giving away back then. Jeez, the marketing money.
Mm.
Stay right here with us. The Nightside Project podcast right here for your enjoyment. You can always hit us up on Twitter, at Alex Keery KSL. What are you, Ethan?
Ethan Millard KSL.
Ethan Millard
KSL.
Same as you.
I just copied you.
Yeah, it's good.
I just admire you
so much.
All
right, we'll come right back. So stay right here. We won't take that big of a break. It'll be some dumb advertising for some other dumb podcasts. We'll see you.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you know what that music means, Ethan?
Yes.
That your connection is still working on your end of things. How do they? How'd they allow you to keep that gear? Actually, you know what's funny? It's one of those things like.
I think they forgot I have it.
No, they didn't because they asked me about it. They go, "So does Ethan still have stuff?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, we got lots of episodes churning out. We're churning out tons of episodes of the Nightside Project."
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Oh okay, so he still has that gear?" And I'm like. Yeah, he's just, whew, I mean, he's on that thing. That mic is hot all the time. We're just, and because, you know, I wanted to make sure you kept it.
Yeah.
I mean, not keep it, but so that we can do this.
Yeah, so we can do this. Yeah, so we can do this.
And I think it was one of those things where it's like engineering's asking, like, so he does have it and he's going to keep it for a minute? And we're like, oh, yeah, programming needs him to have it. And then programming director's like, so Ethan still has it? I go, yeah, engineering's asking you to hold on to it for a minute. There's a lot of that. I'm going to go ask Jones down in but there's a lot of this like, oh, you don't know who Jones is? We hired him during the pandemic. He runs logistics. And they're like, oh, I haven't talked to him yet. Well, he's in the office sometimes. But he might be COVID positive. I don't know. Well, don't email him just in case. I think he's going through a rough time. Either his cat got COVID or his dog got COVID.
Or something.
I don't know. He's having a rough go with just, you know, don't ask. Okay, it's COVID. Don't ask. Millard, here's that promo. From what was it? I don't even know.
It was our first year.
Yeah, I don't know. We even celebrated this. It was a very KSL thing to do to just celebrate anniversaries and birthdays of shows. We've stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, the budget doesn't allow it.
Right.
But here was a promo from 2006. No, 2000. It would have been 2007. It would have been right before you and I started hosting the show.
The Nightside Project is celebrating its first birthday on Friday the 13th. And we want to give you the gift. Listen for the secret text word and you could win your very own Apple iPhone. Be a part of our live Nightside birthday party from 7 to midnight as we take a trip through Nightside's 30-year history. The Nightside Project is bringing birthday back, baby, only on KSL News Radio, now on 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Now on 102.7 FM.
Now.
I love that.
Only 15 years now.
Well,
by the way, you can't win that. That's an old contest. It's no longer. It's void. where prohibited, which no is longer everywhere. Available. So there you go.
But that phrase right there, now on 102.7 FM, that's what really that's the timestamp for this recording, because remember back in the day, they had only just in the previous couple of years.
Oh, we had people like kicking back at it too. They're like, I can't believe.
Only like the previous 2 years they had combined the 102.7 FM right. and 1160 AM.
It was like a year and a half, and then it was like, and even then it was, but what's funny now is I just don't know. I think the research is borne out that people are listening. If they're going to listen to the terrestrial radio, they tune into the FM station, or they stream it on their smart device, or they get the podcast of the shows they listen to. That's it.
Yeah.
1160 AM listeners, I don't know. But that used to be the gold standard, you know, AM, the AM dial. So,
well, whatever. Let's lease the AM signal to QAnon.
Get Burgess Owens over here, baby.
Yeah, let him don't get you love watching the?
Can
talk
I ask
all day
you
long
about
human trafficking and Democrats?
You're the political guy. You've done political campaigns. You've run political campaigns. You've consulted on political campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching these ads between both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you about this because you remember when Mike Lee back in the day, he's like, I'm a family guy. I'm a dad just like you.
Oh, and he had the football.
And he threw the football like
for the first time in his life.
Like it was a wet cat. Like he'd never seen it before. And he's like, oh, gosh, get this thing off me. He's like, and I do everything. I put the pants on just the same way you do. And I also throw this football with my son. Go deep, Junior. You know, it's like so bad. And I'm watching these Ben McAdams and Burgess Owens ads, okay? And tell me if you're uncomfortable commenting on this, because I think it's hilarious. Just the commenting on the political ad part. And it's like, Burgess Owens came here with debt, dun, dun, dun. You know, and you're like, and everything's in black and white, right? When slow motion. And you got to show pictures of them with some bags under their eyes. And, you know, and then they do the same thing with Ben McAdams. They're like, Ben McAdams loves Nancy Pelosi. I heard he kisses her. And they do this whole thing. But then the Ben McAdam positive commercial that I was like, oh, boy, I got to ask Ethan about this. They're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He knows about your values. And Ben McAdams, he's not about one side or the other. He's about making the right choice. And it has him at the dinner table with like an obvious like, amen, you know, like
to
a food prayer. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's bold. That's bold. We're going to go that direction. And it made me think of the Mike Lee with the Joseph Smith picture in the back of in the background to kind of get the whole, hey, man, just so you know.
Yeah.
And it was weird to me because Ben McAdams is in a pretty heavily – well, I don't know. I mean, I guess when he was Salt Lake County mayor, that would have not flown nearly as well as the District 4. Is it District 4? District 4.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a broader pickup because it extends further south.
Maybe we should start doing that. Ethan, would you go ahead and say the closing prayer to the Nightside Project?
I'd forgotten about that Mike Lee thing.
You get a lot more
right.
people picking this up.
And I remember when people pointed out, when the media pointed out the enormous portrait of Joseph Smith behind him.
Oh, it was wild.
His campaign was like, what?
Wow, there he is?
Oh, boy.
We don't pay attention to details like that. Mm-hmm. We just had filming to get through. It's like, look, here's the deal. I'm a praying man. We pray at my house, but when I see that stuff, I go, oh, come on. I don't need that. I don't need
people,
that in my ad. Get out of here.
Yeah, sometimes people feel uncomfortable with that kind of wearing it on your sleeve type thing.
Well, maybe I'm self-loathing practicing Mormon guy. I don't know. Excuse me.
No, I don't think it's a self-loathing thing. I think a lot of people just see
Ethan. Believe me, I hate myself.
I think a lot of people, their view is, you know, this is a private thing. It's not for politicking, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit out of bounds where you just go, I look. Yeah. I don't know. But then there's that part where people go, I want the guy who's representing me back in Washington, you know, blessing his bagel on Capitol Hill. I don't know.
Yeah. There's no better guarantee than that, is there, in politics? Oh, he's religious? All right.
Okay. Did you bless that bagel? That from that Washington, D.C. Bagel shop?
The one where Democrats traffic kids out of the basement?
Listen, come on. I mean, we know our audience, and I'm in the majority religious group here in the state of Utah. I just hate that stuff. And maybe it's because I didn't grow up here, and I kind of go, oh, we shouldn't be doing that, right?
Yeah.
But it's also like when you first, when I first went to BYU, and they would sing hymns before class, I'd be like, what on earth are we doing? And then you get used to it, and you go, oh, okay. Politicians pray during ads, and we sing hymns before some of these classes at BYU.
Yeah.
So like, anyway, before we start talking about the Earth's crust, we'll go ahead and sing hymn number 19. Oh, my gosh. So weird. All right, Millard, go ahead.
All right, Zen headline today. This is out of Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. You know, fall in Utah means hunting season. And this is a story out of the archery buck deer hunt this year. No joke.
No, I know. It sounds like a weird, like, animal...
You ever
like,
see those
like
archery
it has a
bucks?
Centerfold, like it has a centerfold for like, you know, animal, like for hunters. Like, ooh, look at that buck.
Carlton Grimes shot a buck on some property he owns in the Ogden Valley. He followed the buck's trail, which led him to the property of a landowner he didn't know. He approached the landowner, who allowed him to search the property, but he couldn't find it. The next day, so he left. The next day, that other landowner found the buck. The problem is that he didn't have the name of the hunter who had been looking for it. So he called the Division of Wildlife Resources, Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, and I thought this was a really cool kind of service
said, hey,
for these hunters.
I got this record-setting buck. Will you come take pictures of it?
No. The officers, DWR officers Trevor Doman and Brooklyn Evans, they went to work, and they just started calling friends, other hunters they knew, to see if any of them knew of a hunter who shot a buck in the area but couldn't find it. They actually ended up with an address for a hunter who'd been searching for that lost buck. They were able to enter the address in, track down his license, call him up. And I'm impressed with this because I don't know how long dead bucks stay fresh. I don't know. But apparently they were able to just get this locked in just a couple of days.
Man,
and the hunter was able to tag his buck and bring it home, which was amazing.
Fajitas.
Yeah.
I think, venison, you know, some people, to make it a trophy situation, I don't think it needs to be super quote-unquote fresh. I don't like using the term fresh with game
meat.
Either. No, no. I mean, with meat, absolutely. You go, no, is he fresh? Is he fresh? What are we going to do with him? So there you go. Ethan, great story.
I thought it was a great story. So good job, Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Really great. Really great service.
All right.
Love it.
For Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. We'll be back again this week with more of the Nightside Project. We promise. We've got this thing dialed in now. After we went off the air again, they tried to hold us down. And then they realized that we were still, even after doing no advertising, one of the most popular podcasts on KSL's podcast list. So
we can't be kept back. Be held back.
So for Ethan, I'm Alex. We'll be back again. We've got Zen headlines. If you want to hit us up on Twitter at Alex Keery KSL, at Ethan Millard KSL, and we will read those on the air as well. So if we miss one, we'll get to it. I promise. We'll see you next time, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.